Yo, check. 1, 2, 1, 2. We back.
Yo.
Back off hiatus, y'all. You know what that means. Got a lot of rings to talk about. Lots of championship rings.
More than things.
Wedding rings. All right.
Hey.
We got to talk about today. Hey, Russ, you got to get in your bag this episode. Hope you brought your receipts today.
Something slight.
Yo, welcome back.
Hands down the worst song on that album.
This Orange favorite song on What a Time to Be Alive. You put a green check next to it. I remember when we saw it. That got the green check, got the yellow.
Hands down the worst song on that album. But, yo, we back.
Episode 31.
30? I think we're on 30.
I thought last one was our 30th.
Nah, I think that was 29. Last one I think we dropped was 29. As we look it up.
This is our
30 ball.
Shout out Steph Curry.
Shout out Steph Curry. Shooting like that Curry on that jersey, man. I'm gifted. We here.
But this year, he didn't bubble up to get that ring. We got to talk about the king. The king
yes,
is
sir.
It. King
old,
back. Old, not talking about T.I. Shout out to his new album. But.
Old Goat James.
Well, first, though, do we not want to start with the congratulations? Our man's got married.
Yes, sir.
Over this hiatus.
My brother.
Over this hiatus, out here. That was a crazy day. A long day. Weddings are
yeah,
long.
It was.
Yeah.
A long day. But that was dope, man. Thank you. I appreciate all the congratulations. I appreciate everybody coming out. I appreciate everybody having fun. I'm still seeing pictures and videos that I haven't seen yet. So even last night, I'd seen some stuff I still hadn't seen yet.
Yeah, the camera rolls are full of stuff. So you're probably just going to see it. Some people got stuff in the tuck.
Yeah, yeah.
You
know what I mean? Meek's got stuff I haven't seen. I guess, it's a bunch. But appreciate everybody for pulling up. Appreciate everybody for celebrating us, and yeah, we had a good time. We loved
it. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot, but the weekend
yeah,
of
that was
fun, and then the wedding day was fun, you know,
for sure. So yeah, we had a lot of fun. I'm ringed up red, I guess.
The Green Lantern.
I mean, the Green Lantern, and it's funny, like, no, well, some people caught it, some people probably didn't, you know, whatever, but I titled it the Green Lantern because, you know, Green Lantern, he gets his suit and his powers from his ring.
No, I caught when you first showed there. I wanted to do a Green Lantern reference, but when I saw Orin post a Green Lantern, I didn't say anything.
I'm nice with the titles.
Nice with the captions.
It's always double entendres in there. So
don't even ask him how.
Yeah. So.
Shout out to Hogan. That line just always keeps.
It works for anything, man.
It's just timeless.
Triple on times.
Which
is actually my least favorite Hogan Drake collab, which is funny. But we'll talk about that.
Light Up was your least favorite.
That's the bottom.
We could add that topic today. We talk about these Drake, or unless we need time to really think about what is at the bottom, what's at the top.
But even though I know that's your favorite whole flow, but
yeah.
All right, so where we at? Ring, go ahead, get your ring to the next ring.
Hold on, Russ, before you even get started, because you're gonna go off.
As he breathes deep.
You didn't like when Hope
got to hit him with a Duffy side.
You didn't like when Hope said window seven.
Yeah, the Duffy said, "God damn it."
No, I was just gonna say, or you didn't like when I was just gonna joke around and go back. You didn't like when he did the Window 7, the reference.
I liked it.
It was so great that year. If you guys saw that commercial. Like that, like you had to be there. It's like one of those lines where you just had to be there.
You had to be outside.
But yeah, all right. So Russ, it's the moment we've been waiting on. It's a lot of, there was a lot of doubt. There was a lot of hate. There was a lot of slander. There was a lot of predictions.
Yes.
A lot of things that went out. Some people had to walk it back. Other people act like they never said anything. Nothing was ever said, and they hit change. They didn't keep that same energy. But Russ is here to break it down. Russ has the receipts. Russ has the quotes, the statements that were made, the predictions that were made. And now people got to stand on that hill, die on that hill, and keep that same energy, because Russ is here in the new segment we like to call the receipt printer. I don't know what to call it. He got the receipts.
So first off, I want to take it back to summer 2019. Let's take it back to, I think it was around July. So I remember after the trade for Anthony Davis was completed, I heard that the Lakers gave up too much. It was a haul. They got the Pelicans did a steal. They were going to be the better team within 4 years. You lied. I was told that this roster is not a championship roster. They'd be lucky to win 35 games and would probably miss the playoffs. Wrong. I was told that Anthony Davis and LeBron James would not work together. Anthony Davis ended up proving to be probably LeBron's best teammate that he's played with. We'll discuss that a different day. Yeah. But
different conversation.
I was told that this team – I would, no, first off, I was told LeBron came to L.A. to be Michael B. Jordan, came to be the next Kevin Hart. He didn't care about winning.
Oh, yeah. No, he saw them takes.
You know.
He came there strictly for the hype. Moved there strictly for his after-career moves. He didn't care coming there to win. He didn't come to play.
I was told that after Luke Walton got fired that this is a prime example of LeBron trying to, you know, run an organization. And when they got Frank Vogel, they didn't believe in the team. All I got to say is everybody that doubted them, they proved you wrong.
You lost.
Yeah, you lost. Like, overall, it comes down to the Clippers lost. And this is a bigger loss to them because I was told that, hey, you know, this Laker team, they're not going to be able to compete. You know, every other round, it was always an excuse. First round, it was, well, Dame got hurt. Well, when Dame was still healthy, they were down by 30 in the game. Dame got hurt in. I was told that, you know, with Houston, though, they're playing the best defense in the playoffs right now. You know, they're not going to be able to contain James Harden and Russell Westbrook beat them. Went to the next round against Denver. Everyone kind of knew we were going to beat Denver, let's be honest. Once we got to the finals.
Not all.
Once we got to the finals, most people knew the Lakers were going to beat the Heat. But they were like, oh, you know, Spoelstra knows how to defend LeBron. He knows.
Spoelstra.
LeBron went up in that series, was averaging about 28, 11, 10, no, 11 and 8 on 52% from the field and 39% from three, which led the team in the playoff, in the finals right there. So the biggest thing I got to say is LeBron's four rings. No more 3-6 Mafia. No more he's going to be the next Jerry West going 1-8 in the finals. No more all these lies that are being told that LeBron was washed and it was over with. Revenge season 17 is completed and the fourth ring, and we got about one or two more on the way. I kept it short in this rant because, you know, there's really not much too much to say on this point. So, yeah, LeBron got another ring, you know, four of them things, you know, more to come. It was a good year to see. It was a good end of the season.
But Skip said –
oh, man. Skip. Okay, and Skip also said, "Oh yeah, now the Clippers got Ty Lue.
So,
the Lakers are really
so
in trouble.
What?
Stop
what I would say, what I will say to address Skip is like, yo, it's not the Lakers beat who were in front of them. You can't say, oh, you know they would have lost the Clippers. That ain't the Lakers' fault that the Clippers like that didn't make it.
But that's Skip's way of avoiding addressing what they said. Like, so
that,
LeBron did.
Like Snoop was telling them too. Like, nigga, that ain't the Lakers' fault that the Clippers didn't make it. Like,
did our job.
Like, we did what we were supposed to do. We beat who was in front of us easily. Easily. Even Miami, like, they should have swept. I predicted a sweep. I don't know why they let them get two.
We
games.
Had to make it interesting. Adam Silver called us and said, yo, y'all, make it a little interesting.
You know what I mean?
You know, we need some entertainment. You know, we got to get these ratings up a little bit. So, yeah, you know, we got to make everybody sweat a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Game five was some bullshit because we should have closed that game out, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, so they should have won. They should have won in four or five. But, yeah, I don't know why they, you know, walked it to six. But, yeah. Nah, yeah, we knew they was going to win that. Now, it will get tough running off another two. But even if he is chasing, I don't know if he's chasing six or seven. Like, I'm not sure. But it will definitely be tougher because, you know, better competition. Like, Giannis is going to move to a better team. So that team will probably be, you know, viable. You got KD and if Kyrie can somehow stay healthy, you got Brooklyn in the East. You got, you know, Golden State coming back. You know, so and the Timberwolves. I'm not gonna no. Shout out to the Timberwolves, man. Love my home team. But it won't be as easy, I'll say, to run off three more if he's trying to get one more than Jordan.
Oh, it definitely won't be easy.
Can he do it? Sure. Now Anthony Davis though.
I really feel bad though.
Folder, like, what are you like, folder.
Hey, now wait.
He's almost up there with Brown with the front runner, like, folder.
I will say this whole finals, I thought AD was gonna. Actually, I thought he was gonna play well. I think he played really good. I think he only had
he played like a role player.
He had one bad game. Game three.
He played like a role player.
Game three. He
played like a role player.
And nothing wrong being a role player, but the expectations for who Anthony Davis is to be.
He played like a great number two.
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to be the successor for the team.
That was always my thing. He's not a number one. Like, yo, he's a number two or three, but he's a number two for sure. Like, he ain't that dude. We seen Brian try to get him.
But he's Pippen. You didn't hear the.
Yeah, and Pippen was never number one.
He was never the leader. What about when Jordan left?
Even when he played for the Trailblazers, like, no, Pippen's a two. and you need a one. That's
who was one when he was with the Trailblazers?
I don't know, but it wasn't Pippen. Well, he tried to be a one, and you see what happened. Nothing. So
yeah, you can be one. Didn't mean you're a great one. Yeah, exactly. But you're
same
you're,
thing
you're
Randy one. Davis. He was a one in New Orleans.
Kevin Love was a one when he was here in the Minnesota.
Yeah, exactly. You can be a one, but you're actually a two, and that's what he is. So
man, shout out to Skip Bayless. See, I see how you got your name, man. That man be skipping over every little point. Every time it shuts down what you said, he'll change that topic real quick and talk about something else that's irrelevant.
I'm at this point, as I watch them more and more, I'm like, you guys are both just entertaining. Like, you guys aren't actually, like, factual.
They're not really serious about
know how to argue points better. Mm-hmm. And like, I be finding so many holes that Skip could bring up, so many holes that Shannon could bring up. I'm like, yo, just like, all y'all say is this. But, you know, like I said, it is what it is.
Yeah. And now, do we think that LeBron is going to be in the league for the next 3 years?
I give him three more total, two more at the top five.
LeBron's going to be in for another 5 years
total. So he's going to be there when Bronny get there.
Oh, yeah.
That's really what I want to get to. Is he going to be in the league at the same time as Bronny?
It is, and he's going to try to finesse him to make sure that Bronny plays with him, that he's going to play a year with his son.
Oh, he's going to do that. He's
going to finesse somebody. Because I don't see Bronny being like a top-tier talent, like as far as –
Listen, I saw him play at Minnehaha Academy. He was not top tier.
I don't see him being like NBA. Like, I don't see any NBA talent like in him. Like, oh shit, he's crazy as a freshman, or he's crazy. Like,
he's like Jordan's kids.
Yeah, basically. But But he will make sure that he gets in the league. I mean, he will make sure that he gets signed and so on and so forth. But yeah, I don't see him being like a top like talent.
Eyes are on him for reasons not having to do with his talent. Like LeBron, when the eyes were on LeBron when he was like 14, it was because, oh, look at this phenomenal kid.
Nice. Yeah. But now eyes are, you watch Sierra Kane because that's LeBron James' son. Like, not because of anything. And they recruit well or whatever.
Yeah, he's not like the phenom that's just going around going crazy.
Yeah, it's
going
to be tough for him,
That's the downside of being like a superstar's kid when you are trying to make a name for yourself and be taken serious. Do we believe that he's trying to make a name for himself? Do you think he really cares? I don't really know.
Like, so, yeah, because you can see him a couple years, be like, yeah, I'm kind of off this basketball shit.
I can see that because
he already signed to Odell's like esports team. Like, man, if you just go for you never know. What if you go that route and just like, I'm just gonna do this? But I mean,
because I feel like he's playing sport. I feel like he's playing for fun, and he's not playing like LeBron. Like I'm playing to get out. I'm trying to get my mom house. I'm trying to get out the hood. I'm like about to play my ass off. Like, yo, hey, I'm having fun. Oh man, this money come out. I'm already rich.
I think that's the thing too. Like you suddenly find rich, players that are like rich that really love sports the way that people from the lower income households like do. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like not only we do it because we like it and it's fun, but it's also just something that we can do that we have no other choice. In that sense, like when you're rich, you got the big house, you got the game systems, you got like we didn't have a game system, so what do? We played outside. Like what do you do when you play outside? You play football, you play basketball, whatever. So I think that's more so like the interest probably isn't there from even that that level. Like LeBron played ball because guess what? Wasn't shit to do in the house, and guess what? Everybody outside was playing basketball, so I play basketball. kind of like that thing. So now I don't see him being a force at all. Like he doesn't shoot that well. He's kind of athletic, but he's not really big. So, like again, LeBron was 6'8", 250. Like, I don't see Bronny hitting that spurt anytime soon. Like, Bronny would probably top out at, like, 6'4", maybe.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? But he plays like his dad, but you can only play like your dad when you are bigger, faster, stronger. And he's not bigger, faster, stronger than everybody, like LeBron is.
Because when LeBron was that age, he was already over the belt. He was like
bigger, faster, stronger than everybody.
Yeah, everybody. He was clearly above the rest.
Yeah, like, yeah. So, yeah, no, I don't, like I said, he'll, I Brian will probably make sure he gets in the league. I said, I think Brian got like 5 more years. But yeah, probably like 2 at the top. Like Russ was saying, 2 more at the top. And then, you know, he'll taper off. You know what I mean?
Like, I think at worst toward the tail end, he'll be averaging like a little bit under 25. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, at the tail end, he'll average 20.
Masterpiece Son had Bronny looking.
He can get 20 in his sleep. So
Masterpiece Son had Bronny looking Bronny looking frail out there, man. Had him looking shook in these streets, man. Masterpiece like because you know he can't wait to brag about something. He has something better than whatever the mainstream thing
shout
is.
Shout out to Hersey.
Like, don't support, bro. Support me. Support my sons in his basketball shoe.
Hey, I already had my masterpiece rant. I've been vicking me all these years.
Yeah. We know. But now, okay, so we feel like he's going to stay long enough for Bronny to play. Yeah. For that, at least that 1 year.
Unless Bronny goes to Kentucky. If Bronny goes to Kentucky and my dog Calipari. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, you know Calipari
can get him league ready.
Get you that one and done, baby.
Get you league ready. Show you how it's gonna go.
They hate him so much. I still don't understand. I watched the documentary. I was like, I actually like him more now. Actually, y'all paid about to be this villain. I was like, man,
that's my guy Calipari, man. That nigga.
He wasn't wrong.
And he played who they said were eligible. Like how they were eligible. He didn't concern himself with that. He played who they say was eligible, though, and he got you to the league. Shout out to Gallaudet. Shout out to Murray.
Shout out to college players getting paid on the low.
Yeah, like he got a bunch of people.
D Book, Cousins, man, everybody.
Shout out to college players getting them checks under the table. Them college athletes, you know, fuck the system. You know, get your money, man. Don't get caught.
You know, and like I said, like, that was the craziest thing to me is like how compliance with the NCAA rules. Like, my guy Brock, who played for the U when I was at the U. Like I couldn't even like buy him food because I'm not his family. Like that would have been an NCAA violation if they would found that out. Just like, hey, Kane's on me or Albie's on me or whatever. If I picked up the bill, like that's technically
that's
a
crazy.
Violation. Like which is not like, and this is actually my friend. Like you know, what I mean? Yeah. It was just like that, which I would do for all of my friends or whatever. But yeah, no, that NCAA shit is nuts, like really nuts.
And if only they could come to some type of like, because if you're selling their jerseys with their like selling them like that, like if they could just work out some type of system where at least they get paid at least after they leave college they get leave with something. And I know that, oh, well, you getting paid when you play? Like, no, y'all made money off me. The league is paying me because they want me to play for the team. They're paying me for that. It's like you know, we want you to be in this movie, but also post something. No, you want me to post? You gotta pay me for that too. You know, I'm getting paid to act. You didn't pay me for posting.
I just don't see why they can't just have like a system where it's like, hey, like I go to like Applebee's or something and do like signings. Maybe you guys sign off on it, like some paperwork, and like, you know what I'm saying? Like if this is like something separate, I can get, you know, compensation for that. But I don't know. That probably makes too much sense, and you know, gives it.
That probably makes too much sense.
like with classes and 2-a-days, oh, you expect me to make it to the cafeteria for every time that? So, like no. And mandatory. Required study hall too, like, and so I can only get like one meal if I'm lucky a day. It's because you know cafeteria closes after 6 or something, whatever. But yeah, that's insane and inhumane. But shout out to the athletes that are somehow finessing their way around the system. I support it.
I'm all for it, man.
Shout out to like the NCAA is just the biggest finessers of all time. Like yo, shout out to them for still just finessing. Like yo, hey, what a great business model. Like you make billions, and you don't got to pay your employees anything.
And they're technically a non-profit organization, which is nuts.
And shout out to Jay.
So you don't even pay taxes. not real taxes. Like, again, you make billions and you don't have to pay the employees anything.
That's like the greatest game. Like, man, y'all living up. Y'all don't even got to worry about getting taken down. But like, no, y'all don't even pay y'all employees. And also shout out to Jalen Rose. Jalen Rose, when he broke down like that whole thing with, you know, the Fab Five and them accepting money. Like, no, see, the reason why I told the truth, and the reason why I knew I had nothing to worry about is because we were accepting gifts and money in high school, which is not against the law. That's not NCAA rules. We're in high school. I can do that. we accepted that stuff in high school. In college, like, I didn't have to lie or do anything. I like told you, yeah, we accepted the gifts. I'm not in trouble because that was high school. it's not college. So, you know, like this whole thing could have been avoided. And in whatever union, you wouldn't have had to get indicted if you had just told the truth. Like, you weren't going to get in trouble for saying, yeah, well, I knew him. He used to come to our games and pay for our uniforms and socks, and yeah. But shout out to him. Speaking of uniforms and stuff, one of the things I got Orin for wedding gift, I updated him, you know, because shout out to Saquon, you know, he got injured, so there'd be no point. I know he's not going to be the same when he comes back, like, not to the level that he could possibly, because that's a very serious injury. So I knew Orin had faith in Danny Dimes.
Danny Dimes.
So I got him Danny Dimes jersey. All right,
well, I want to keep it a buck, man. Look, when Saquon went down, I was like, shit. Like, I thought we had 4 wins this year, but, yeah, when Saquon went down, I'm like, all right.
Now you're glad you didn't take those bets in Vegas.
No, they said 2, and we done. What? Okay, we're playing Washington. What's the score right now? Are we up on Washington?
Yep, you guys up 13-3.
Yeah, so, oh, shit. But, yeah, we can beat Washington. We almost beat the Cowboys last week. Cowboys got lucky at the end. But, yeah, no.
Almost doesn't count, except for horseshoes.
But I'm just saying, I'm like, we're on an upturn. We're on an upturn. Like,
we're getting closer and closer to winning.
Yeah, exactly. We weren't scoring any points in the first few games of the season. But the funny part about it is that the Cowboys lead the division with 2 wins. So we're still in reach. We can still like.
Listen, this division is trash, right? Oh,
no, it's hands down the worst division in the league. All right, it's either worst or the most competitive.
With super big name with super big name teams. Like, that's the crazy part. Like, yeah.
But we definitely can. We definitely still can win. Russ has a fucking tie on his record, so I don't even want to hear nothing about the Eagles.
Hey, man, 1-3. We second in the division, though.
Listen, you guys are 1-3-1. Russ
ain't been talking trash.
I've been quiet, man.
Russ, no, and hey. Russ is like, listen, hey. It don't even bother me anymore because Bron got a drink, so I don't even care.
I got one win this year, and Drake's supposed to drop. So,
Eagles on Super Bowl 2 years ago, too, so I'm good.
Right here in Minnesota.
Again, we have more relevant Super Bowls than everybody in the division, so I'm okay with that still. And shout out to my guy, Eli Manning.
Now he's your guy. Eli.
He don't know my guy. What are you doing? I've never not said he's my guy. He's not Peyton, but he's definitely always my guy.
That was clear.
For sure. But, man, so, yeah, we got Washington. Like, we still have a chance. There's a chance.
Yo, who's taking it? The Giants taking this year? Yeah. The Eagles taking this year? Vikings taking? I think Vikings might go all the way, y'all.
Right. Russ said we're second. Like, he got more than 1 win.
I think
we're still second in the division. Nigga, y'all got 1 win.
Second with a tie.
I think in the end, the Cowboys are probably 1-8-8.
I don't know. Because their backup is Carson Palmer,
it's Andy Dalton.
I was thinking Bengals quarterbacks, but yeah, Andy Dalton, who was solid with the Bengals.
Vikings schedule has been frustratingly difficult for us to ever
Green
achieve.
Green Bay is winning that division.
Achieving a win here that has not been easy. We've been having a very tough schedule. I read it off to Orin, like, well, we got next, because we was already down, like, 0-3. Like, all right, we got next. I named off the next 5 games. Like, yo, we was lucky to get that W last week. Even that was a close game. It was like 1 point. It's like a 1 point game, so.
I mean, you pay Cousins all that money, and all you do is turn the ball over. He already got 3 picks today, so.
Yeah. Hey, man, listen. I have never been an advocate for.
Wait, you say he has 3 picks today?
Yes, sir.
God damn, Drummer. Is he playing for the other team? Or who's he? Who that? Oh, they playing in Atlanta?
Yeah, which is crazy because Atlanta, I think at this point, their season, they already fired their coach. So they're kind of just like, hey, man, we just.
Atlanta.
we'll see what happens.
Atlanta, I told y'all, the Vikings lose in practice. When Vikings lost last night, or last week, man, I was like, man, the Vikings lose in practice, which I used to always say about the Detroit Lions. But now, I was like, yo, Vikings, man, y'all can't win. Y'all
nothing.
Can't win for nothing.
But Atlanta, though, like. You know, I'm a big Julio Jones fan, and I fuck with Matty Ice, but I'm like, they just can't. They be in their own way. Like they literally be, like, they get in their own way. Like, you can't have that much talent on offense and still somehow trick it off every single year. So, but shout-outs to Atlanta. Hopefully, your man stopped throwing interceptions for the Vikings, but, you know.
We'll see. Y'all understand it's the Vikings. So, yes, it's going to keep happening. The Vikings going to Vike, man. Listen,
the Vikings going to Vike.
Listen, Purple Shame. I always tell Purple Shame. This ain't Purple Pride. It's Purple
y'all,
Shame.
Y'all playing right now?
Ain't no Purple Pride.
Is Philly playing right now?
Yeah, they're playing Baltimore right now.
Y'all getting bone?
17-0.
Right,
hey, man, shout out to Shout out to the Chiefs, man. That's my second team. That's my other team. You know, shout out to the Kansas City Chiefs, man. I've been on record to be
supporting Mahomes since high school.
I've been a huge supporter of the Chiefs, man.
They got Le'Veon Bell now. They got a solid starting running back. You know, shout out Le'Veon Bell for getting $27 million from the Jets and literally only rushing for like 250 yards.
Wow,
a huge finesse. Yeah, he was terrible all last year, and he got hurt, and then they were basically like, they're going to get rid of him last year, and they're like, oh, no, we're going to keep him. And this year they decided to cut him, and he was like, all right, cool, you know, let me go get this.
I'm going to go run with Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, they don't need me, but, you know what I mean, they can use me. They don't need me, but they can use me.
That's what LeSean McCoy did. LeSean McCoy signed like a one-year deal with them. He didn't play a single down in the Super Bowl. He was like, hey, I'm in right place, right time.
Man, Shady's such a shell of himself. Like, yo, when he was with Philly, he was that nigga, fam. Like, but after he left Philly, he's such a shell of himself. It don't make no sense.
Damn, homie. In high school, he was the man, homie.
Yeah, he was nice. And then, like, I remember, like, when the Eagles got Chip Kelly and he basically destroyed the organization for, like, 3 years. He traded LeSean McCoy just to pay DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews, just a whole bunch of money. They were just bums. And that was all those years where we were just basically like 6-10 and 8-8. Had bum ass Sam Bradford, who still has the highest quarterback guarantee when he got drafted. I think it was like $45 million guarantee. He was getting nuts.
Yeah, because the Rams cashed him out like that, right?
Yep. Yeah. Good old St. Louis Rams.
Shout out to, well, not St. Louis anymore, but
Got respect to the new stadium. So, hey, so how do y'all feel about the? A lot of things happened since in general. Yeah, much has happened. Yeah.
What's it been, 3 weeks?
Something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we don't have to go too far back. We can talk about something recent that happened because I'm happy for people that are out here, you know, getting the bag and just recouping without even having to do anything. Like, you just recoup off the rip before anything is released. Shout out to Eddie Murphy, man. Coming to America 2 only cost $28 million to make, and he already got the bag. He's good already. You don't have to do nothing. $125 million.
20 years later. Yeah. Not even 20. Almost 30. Almost 30 years later. He got an extra $100 million for the movie.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
125. He wants every last.
No, I'm saying but it cost him 28. Oh,
yeah.
So
he
made another 100. Like, he already made hundreds off it, but he made another 130 years later. You know, almost 30 years after.
And he's gonna keep making money off it after it's released too. You know,
exactly.
He's on film, executive, and everything. So, hey, man, shout out to Eddie Murphy, man. He really cashed out on that deal, and I am like really happy for him, man. Yeah, it's still coming out. Still coming. I forgot. Was it Amazon that got it?
Yeah, I was about to say that. Yeah, it was Amazon that I ended up buying it.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jeff Bezos.
That's the thing. Bezos got it. Bezos got it.
Oh, that's nothing.
There's a lot of people that have been getting Amazon deals and Amazon specials. Comedians are going over to Amazon because they can't get the Netflix deal. You go because Bezos got it. What you want, Monique? That's where Monique really should go. She should really just go over to
fuck with Netflix. Talking about Bezos got it. He got you.
Yeah, I mean, you're hot now, so after going off now. Because I'm going to keep it real. No one was really asking for a Monique special before Monique said, they won't give my money. We want a Monique special. to strike while irons are, go to Amazon. Bezos got it. That should be the new slogan of Amazon. That should be the new slogan of Amazon. Bezos got it. other deals.
So what? I know, and we were having a conversation. I know you wanted to talk about too, about like jokes and how comedians and what we were saying, music, how it correlates. In that way.
Yeah.
You want to give that one?
No, because I was going because there's so much to get through. Because I don't really want to mess this up, but you know, to tie it in with all that, because I will start with the whole Bill Burr thing, because. And this does correlate. When Bill Burr was on SNL, I don't know if y'all saw that clip because it went super viral over the internet when he started talking about white women, and that whole thing. Russ, did you happen to see it?
Yeah, I saw a couple of clips of that when he was talking about how they basically took over the Black Lives Matter movement.
Yeah, yeah. They took over the whole woke movement, everything. Like, they put their Gucci booted foot over the fence of oppression as Bill Burr.
Yeah, people were they were pretty upset about that. I thought it was funny. You know, he made a lot of good points, because if you, like, kind of go on, like we're on, like, Twitter and, like, you know, social media like mm-hmm. that. So we've definitely seen, like, the pattern of that. Like, even, like, with the whole, like, when the George Floyd stuff first happened and the Breonna Taylor stuff, you see a lot of people that, like, who were doing it, like, genuinely, like, okay, we really, like, we know you're, like, we've seen, mm-hmm. like, you know, your history. Then you have people just going out of nowhere doing stuff to kind of just, like, get with the trend kind of thing. And be like, oh, no, this is, a, you know, the trendy thing to do. Let's go, you know, take pictures in front of murals, you know, like, even, like, when they had the influencers who were, like, taking, like, fake pictures, like, trying to, like, clean up their community after, like, you know, the protests happened and stuff. And they found out that it was just, like a prop, basically. I'm like, yo, this is trash. So, shout out Bill Burr. I definitely think he brought up, like, a good perspective on that. And everyone that was mad, you know, somebody's going to be mad about something, so, you know.
Yeah, someone's always going to be mad about something, because that was always, like, brought up discussion, like, well, if not him, who should say, like, because even he's saying, because you're not seeing a lot of white people say, like, we got to stop putting ourselves in front of people of color, like, putting mm-hmm. ourselves at the forefront of this movement, because it's really not us, like, we're not at the top of the food chain. We shouldn't make it about us, which was his whole point, that, like, stop, because Bill Burr, like, one of the funniest quotes from that was when he said, like, you guys were stood behind toxic white men for centuries.
Oh, yep.
you were on the wrong side of oppression, and you rolled around in the blood money. When he said you rolled around in the blood money, and occasionally, if you want to go off with a black man, if you get caught, you said it wasn't consensual. And that's what you did. And the way SNL's art, because they all knew exactly what he was talking about and what he was referring to. And I really thought he really smoked that, like, that whole point and that, you know, that whole argument. Like, he told no lies. As Black Twitter kept saying, he told no lies. Like, and I know, because that's the thing about comedians, like, when it's, like, a lot of people don't understand, when it's not you're not performing in front of your audience, it's different when people are coming out to see you specifically, they paid money, like, they're your fans, versus going in front of an audience, like, randomly, that did not know you're going to be there. Mm-hmm. They, you know, you're like, if you're, like, at an open mic, or, you know, and that's you're going to get a more realistic thing, and they might not know your whole thing or your whole shtick, so they're not going to react the same as your fans, because your fans know who you are. That's why they're the fans. That's why they paid to see you. They wanted to see you do what you do. So some people get gassed off that. Some people get gassed and they'll think, like, yo, yeah, I'm the shit because my fans, like, kind of correlates to rap, like ASAP Rocky, like, when he thought he was the biggest rapper in the game over Drake, over Kendrick, over everybody. And, like, no, you were at no point were you ever number one over everybody in entire bigger than Kanye. Being like, no, because your argument was my mention. Say, like, yeah, you're asking your fans. Of course, your fans are gonna be like, if you're only looking at your mentions and not looking at the world's view, of course you're gonna feel that way. And some comedians get a rude awakening when they go in front of an audience and that's not their fan base. Mm-hmm. And you're going on live television. Now you're in front of the mainstream. You're not in a comedy club where people are coming to see you. You're on national TV now, in front of an audience that some are getting exposed to you for the first time. It's your first time hosting SNL, and you spoke the truth, but, like, and also you got new fans off, because a lot of people that got put on, and now they're all going back and watching his back catalog. And shout out to Bill Burr, because he's only a good writer could have pulled that off and did that.
I feel like those situations are always, like, it's a big risk, like, big reward kind of thing. So it's mm-hmm. like, hey, if you take the risk and it works out, dope. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can really show, like, your talent. If it's a miss on that one, you're like, oh shit, we got to regroup and kind of figure out the new direction. So yeah, I definitely pick up on that too, because I think a lot of times you can really show, like, your talent. Like, yo, it's cool if you can, you know, like, appeal to your base, but when you can branch outside of that and really show, like, yo, like, I can really, like, I can tap into this, I can get this area, mm-hmm. that really shows, like, even if it's, like, you know, comedy, music, whatever you do, like, that really shows, like, okay, like, you really are that guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
See, and I'm glad you brought that, because that's how it really correlates to music, because, like, in comedy, like, there are some people that are that aren't super left or super, like, yo, this is only going to work in a niche market. Mm-hmm. There are certain comedians that are just universal. They just haven't got the exposure, but they're universal. Like if more people saw them, they would gravitate toward them because they have a more, what they call, universal appeal and a universal style comedy. Or there are people that are just or they're comedians that are super versatile and they can work a lot of rooms. They can work they can work the black rooms, they can work the white rooms. I pride myself into being able, like, yeah, I can navigate. I run a black room, but I can also go. That's why I always get invited or to perform, always get paid to perform at House Comedies and other at Sisyphus Brewery, like, because I can work any type of room. It's called having that versatility. Now some people. If you're of a certain quality or a certain lower quality, you shouldn't try to, because now it's gonna create more room for people to just, like, not like you, because you're not built for that. Mm-hmm. Which correlates to a conversation we were having about Drake and about how 40 spoke on how Drake just wants to have he's never gonna have a short album. Mm-hmm. Because
yeah, because he was saying basically, like, he has, like, so many different, like, areas, like, where, like, fans, it's like, hey, some fans like the rap stuff, some fans like the R&B stuff, some fans like the, you know, the Caribbean stuff, some people like the UK stuff, you know, you have, like, so many different audiences to tap into, and, you know, if you, like, hey, I want to make, like, a shorter album, one of those areas is going to basically get, like, kind of, you know, not really, like, it's going to get shortchanged in the sense where it's, like, they're not going to, you know, get that music that they want to hear. So, that's kind of, when I looked at all Drake's music, like, from, like, a long time ago, I picked up on that pretty early, because I was like, well, he kind of seems like the type of artist where he's like, I don't want to really put myself in a box kind of thing. Because I do feel like it's a lot of times where people, like, who, like, are heavily critical on Drake albums, they can't tell you exactly what they really want. They're saying, well, I just want to make a classic. What do you want? Well, I just want a classic. It's like, what exactly, like, does that entail? You know what I'm saying? They can't really, like, I feel like most people can't really tell you exactly what they want. They just basically keep saying they want, I want something new, and then give some new. Well, I want you to go back to what you made before. And it's like, yo, like, what do you want?
I want something new. All right, give me some. Hey, why are you culturally appropriate? Yeah, why are, like, you doing all these times? Like, yo, why are you going all the way outside? Just give us Drake.
And what I will say is that his shortest album is his worst album. That's all I'm gonna throw it out there.
You saw what happened when I tried to keep it concise. Are you saying that? Well, I don't think Drake feels this way because his fans, because you see the internet how they rank it versus how you feel about Nothing Was the Same. But
shortest album is his worst album.
But
is still a good album because I do.
But I'm,
like, most of Nothing Was.
If we're on record of revisiting it, it's not as bad as it originally seemed. But do you see what the internet says about the album as far as where they rank it?
People love it.
Some people put it at number one. Some people put it right under Take Care. A lot of people put it.
It's top two in probably most people's eyes. And
yeah. So as long as you saw it, because that brings me to my point. Drake, like, his verse, what people want from him. Some people ask for certain things until they get it, and they're like, oh yeah, I really want that, because if Drake went full, like, only doing these two styles, because it used to be, man, I wish he would pick a side. Is he singing or is he rapping? I need him to pick a side, because some people like more so R&B stuff. Some people prefer one. Hey, I want you to put out a straight up hip hop, classic album. I want you to do it a straight regular, just rapping. Don't sing. Don't you dare sing. Don't you harmonize. You're gonna have a singing hook. Bring an R&B singer in for that. I need you to be just straight rap. And Drake told us years ago, like 10 years ago, that he's never doing that. He's never giving us just a straight rap album. It's never gonna happen. It's never coming.
And I'd much rather take that stance instead of just doing something because, like, yeah, you know, it's what you got. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, kind of like just doing, like, hey, this is, like, how you really feel and you stand on it. I respect it because it's, like, as an artist, I respect that. Like, yeah, you know, it's cool to do different stuff. But at the same time, it's, like, if that's what you truly feel and, like, not really letting, like, you know, public opinion dictate, like, your next move kind of thing, I'm with that. And I don't know. I just think, like, when it comes down to the music with him, I just feel like he's gotten to a level now where it's, like, you know, you're going to please the people who like you and the ones who, like, want to nitpick their stuff. They want something to talk about. They want content. Like, we've seen all, like, you know, crazy YouTube, like, you know, videos and theories. Is this the year he falls off?
Hey,
like,
they're still coming. Someone just put a video out a couple days ago about Drake.
Even going back to Stimulus Package, what I said basically was, when Drake first started, it was, even if the rapper was trash, he could still basically make it, like, you good. The point is now is, like, if you kind of don't know what to do after you get the look, it's a wrap for you.
I'm glad we saved this for the podcast. Like, what I didn't say in the group chat was the difference between now and back then, because they wanted to bring up, like, the difference between those artists back then is Drake used to give looks to album artists, people who are project artists. Cole, he'll always talk about what he did for Kendrick early. He talk about what he did for ASAP, whether you like him or not. Like, he's still more of a project based on, like, and there was other ones that I'm forgetting. Like, he was doing it for people who knew how to make projects and stuff. Like all these, you know, these Block Boy JBs or these like, or he's hopping on a wave of new sound of one person that might not, Young Blue or what, like what was his name?
Yes, it's Young Blue.
No,
that might not.
I don't believe like that's even a thing though. Like what you look at what he did for the Migos. You look at even Lil Baby, who's the biggest driver. Like you,
yeah.
Do we know? Is Lil Baby?
No, I don't want to give it. So, what I'm saying, I don't want that to get me upset.
No, I'm just saying like to like the little YouTube page or whatever that said the stimulus package. Like it's not the stimulus. It's still the stimulus package. Like you wouldn't know a lot of people if it wasn't if they didn't get the look first. Like
I wouldn't know who these niggas are.
I still don't want to know who McConan is. Like, people got to stop bringing that shit up too.
But
like,
I'm like, he gave you the hit. What you do after that is on you.
Exactly.
But it's still the stimulus though. Like, you probably got your biggest, like I said, Block Boy JB. He had a couple more records after that too.
Yeah.
Or whatever. He tried, but he was just a nigga out of Memphis that just, you know what I mean? Like, he wasn't.
He was a nigga world star, let's be honest.
He wasn't built for albums or projects.
Have you ever seen a
like
Block Boy JB
like,
interview?
You know what I mean? Like,
that man, he can't even talk. Like, it's terrible. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, you should watch that Drake stimulus package video, boy. They pull up clips and all that. But yeah, no, it's not
on Drake. The stimulus package is there.
It gets you. What you do with it is what. I want the listener. I know Oren gets it, but what I'm trying to say for the listeners is. It's still the stimulus package still works. I'm saying like these artists that he's given to, they just don't happen to have anything prepared to back up or to run with it once Drake gives you that co-sign feature. Yes, you caught steam. A lot of people, and Drake is living proof of this. If you look at some of these artists that he's doing features for, that will never make it to his album. Like these niggas here are putting out something. A lot of people can be like the one hit wonder or can be like a flash in the pan. Like when they say anybody can get one hot song, like it's a fluke can happen. Some of these niggas are flukes, you know, whether you like it or not. It's not on Drake. Like it's not like, oh, the Drake stimulus package failed. Like, no, this nigga had nothing else. All right, he had one little thing, one little style. When you're a trend and you come in on a trend, when that trend dies, you die with it. If you're not an album artist, if you're not a project artist, yeah, you're gonna die with whatever trend or wave you came in on. Waves crash against the rocks.
If you're nice, you're nice though. Like, bars. Like I said, Lil Baby literally on his first.
Lil Baby was talented. That's
he said.
Oh, wham.
Mention Lil Baby on a Drake record. But he knew, or QC knew, or whoever knew, like, yo, he's nice. And look at his career now. Look where he is now. And he got another Drake feature after that. You know what I mean? Like, he was still going to do his thing regardless. And like I said, so it's really what you, but no, it's definitely just stim. Like, nobody would know Lil Baby's name and had Drake not jumped on Yes Indeed.
Creating a sound or being a new sound versus being a talented artist.
Trap niggas would have, but
right.
Lil Baby wouldn't be where Lil Baby is if Drake doesn't get on Yes Indeed.
He wouldn't be on the level that he is. Talented artist and people who create a wave are two different things.
Yeah.
I know people like to think it's like, oh, no, what do you mean? He created a whole wave. Yeah, created a whole app. That's it. Anybody, because you know what creating a wave is? Having an idea. Like, anybody can have an idea, and that idea can only take you so far if you got nothing else behind it or to back. Like, if you're like, oh, you got any more ideas? Like, it's like say, hey, I got an idea for an episode of a show. Like, all right, give us an idea for another episode. That's the only idea I have. I don't have any more episodes written up. I don't have any more story.
Like, that was it.
That was it. I just had one dope idea for one episode of this show. I got nothing else. I don't have a whole seasons back to, like, yeah. These other artists, they're writing seasons. Yeah. These albums are their season. They can create whole seasons. So yeah, you can be that. And that, and again, to my point, that does not fall on Drake. The Drake stimulus package still exists. You just got to be a talented nigga and to run with it for people like, oh yeah, I like this project. Okay, I went back and checked out his album. Oh shit,
Guys, basically said everything I was thinking too, because it's just like, I can't hold your hand at this point. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't guide your hand.
They want Drake to hold their hand.
I hate it. I mean, somebody was like, I think it was somebody on Twitter, like, man, dude, what Drake should be doing was he should be, you know, paying for these artists' albums in studios. Like, bro, you're not my fucking artist. Like, no. What the fuck is that? Like, nah. Like, what?
I think people think.
An orphanage?
And people think that Drake should do for artists what Wayne did for him because Drake is at, you know, Scorching art has been at the top for, you know, 10, well, at least the last 5 years. You know what I mean? And I think like people don't realize like what Wayne did was completely different, and who Wayne was as an artist, he's just a completely different artist than Drake is. And yeah, like Drake is scorching hot and he fit, but Drake is also really strategic in what he picks and how he, you know, how he does everything. As far as Wayne, Wayne was just like, shit, whatever it is, I'm gonna rap on it. And he was like, yo, so if you want me, you got to leave some bars for Drake, or you got to leave some bars for Nicki. Like, you got to leave it. Yeah, you, if you want me. But Drake just isn't that type of artist. Like, he's not going to do 100 features in a year like Wayne did. You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to do 100, you know, he's not going to drop 100 different songs a year, you know, like Wayne did. Like, it's different. But like I said, it was dope. And yeah, that's what catapulted Drake into being Drake. But like, it was the look, and then Drake took it to where he took it to. Like, just like we were saying with the stimulus thing, like, you, like, I can give you the look, but you also have to take it to where you, mm-hmm. you know, where you take it to.
Can we talk about that bullshit when, like, when we all knew where Drake was going, but they had, like, that bullshit, we're like, oh, who, the bidding war, who's Drake gonna sign to after he already had mad shit out, and, like, it was 2010, and, like, oh, is he gonna sign with Roc Nation? Is he gonna sign with...
We
Def Jam?
We gotta talk about the theories. Remember after Wayne went to jail, like, oh, Drake's leaving Young Money, he has, like, how it's being run, he's going to Roc Nation, he's going to Good Music. I'm like, man, stop it.
First of all, y'all act like Birdman didn't have a holding contract, dude. He wasn't just Wayne. Was like, oh, yeah, okay, you here, you can go. Like, no, he was still under Wayne, under Birdman. So it's like, under Universal.
They definitely thought. Yeah, no,
that was creating.
Those rumors were like, yeah, definitely when Wayne went to jail, yep. They definitely was like, oh, yeah, Drake's about to leave. I did fall victim to the one when he dropped. If you're reading this, it's
I
too
did
late.
Too.
I actually thought that was he turned in the last album, like, you know what I mean, like just trying to get out the deal, whatever. I actually did fall for that, which
it
I'm not gonna say
it was reasonable.
I'm not gonna say it was that wrong because he basically
Birdman don't pay his artists was a real hot topic at the time. Yeah. It was a streaming hot topic at the time.
Well, because based on what I read after they said basically like after that project, that's like when he wanted to re up then, and then basically they agreed at that point. Okay. You have basically two more albums after this, and then it's a wrap. And
then he eventually cut out the middleman because now he just signed to Universal.
Yeah, because that's what he was saying in the Rap Radar. He was just like, yeah, this, he's like basically like, you know, Future Ooh. Looked at my deal, and we basically just like got it, like, you know, it was all figured
not,
out.
So not weak ass Future.
Drake's oh, yeah, my bad. Future
Drake's
the man,
yeah, you got, yeah. A lot of people don't know the behind the scenes. They don't know the OVO
yeah, yeah,
team.
Yeah, not weak ass Future. No, yeah. Not him. He.
Wait, are we ready?
I don't know what Future deal on, man. Future definitely got a 360 deal.
That's another.
He signed to Rocco, a whole bunch of other people.
Okay, so are we willing to
shout
have?
Shout out to Rocco, man. Rocco be signing
motherfuckers. He be discovering people.
That's his cousin, too. I just realized that.
Hey, Rocco got his hands on all.
Oh, did you see? Did you
see?
I don't know. Maybe no. I think I saw it on my own. Did you see like the whole like Future's like old rap name?
Meathead.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, like young Meathead.
That makes a lot more sense. Makes a lot more sense for how weak he is. He should have kept that weak.
I have never. That would not get us. Some people shout out to rap artists who have changed their rap names. You hear about a lot of artists' old rap names. Some people knew about the rap names, but they changed it and their career flourished. And like, yeah, you should have definitely been did that. You know, Titty Boy should definitely been changed that name. Like that would, like you, it could have happened for him way faster. Like 2 Chainz was definitely the right move for him to go with that name. Are we ready to have that conversation though about Drake?
I'm more so laughing that like he actually like. So I'm assuming that he was called Titty Boy because he. You don't mess with joints with titties or whatever.
No, he was called Titty Boy because he was breastfed for like a very long time.
Okay, so
the backstory's not good either.
I'm never letting nobody call me that though. Like, why would you even accept that?
Because I was breastfed until I was 6, or I think it's like 6 or 7. And I was like
that's how like some shit motherfuckers would tease you about. Like, why would you make that your rap? I don't know. Anyway,
you gotta roll with it so people don't make fun
but
of you.
Again, but you grown though. Like, I don't get it. Like, you're a grown man. What are you still letting people call you? Or why do you want people to call you?
He changed his name at 37. Like, hey, how you know I'm like, 2 Chainz now? Oh, hey, I like you. Like, oh shit, I should have ended this.
Why would you want them to call you Titty Boy? Like, I don't get that. Like, I get if it was a nickname and it stuck with you, but then once you became a rapper, like, or once you decided to do music, like, you don't tell people, yeah, that's what you call me. Well, I don't know. Yeah, that's weird. But yeah, shout out to him changing 2 Chainz and getting a second run as an artist.
Are we ready to have that conversation though about Drake? Because I know you've seen this conversation over the past month or 2 months. This has been a thing about Drake, but now, it, you know, people are doing interviews, giving their speculation. What do you think would happen if Drake, in the music industry too as a whole, if Drake went independent? I know you've heard this, like, yo, what if Drake just went independent? What the effect that it would have on the music industry when, like, this, the number one artist just decided, you know what, fuck it, with the variables of him influencing other artists, yeah, to do so, the money that he's making the music industry, that's another subtopic of that. So, like, Drake going independent and what it would do for Drake, the money, they're throwing big bags at him, for sure. But if he got to keep the money, like, people don't just give him back. Like, no, I want, but you still own this shit. You give me this bag, but I don't have ownership over all of it. Like, so.
I think it definitely makes negotiating interesting. But I also feel like, too, like, I don't know if it changes too much because a lot of artists, like, aren't at his level, so they can't be like, well, you know, I'm going to go independent like Drake. It's like, you know, I don't know if you can really, you know. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm about to kick this over to Oren because I'm kind of, I don't know. I don't know if it really changes that much. I just feel like for him, it's just like he'll probably fully get, like, what he's worth in his mind. Like,
because people were breaking it down, like, how the trickle-down system of, a domino effect, if you will, that would happen if Drake decided to go independent. And I'm not talking about his influence on unknown artists or little, yeah, like, current, like, known artists. Like, yeah, you like.
Yeah, I definitely think
following suit. And
I definitely think a lot of the bigger stars are probably, you know, look at that.
If Drake does it, he won't be the only one.
Yeah, I definitely feel like it's gonna have a heavy influence on, like, a lot of the bigger artists, like, you know, like the big A-list ones. So yeah, I definitely think a lot of them would probably start looking at the deals differently and be like, hey, like, you know, let me follow the lead on this one.
And to me, I don't like, I don't think it makes that much of a difference because a lot of people are still gonna look at, like, what they need from a label and what, mm-hmm, like I said, Drake probably do it, and Drake probably could do it for the low. Like, he probably won't actually have to pay that much to to put out an album, like, you know, because people want to work with him, people want to, you know what I mean, like, so it wouldn't change, like, he would take home more money, I guess. But I think, honestly, Drake likes the luxury of, hey, man, look, give me 20 mil, give me 20
I don't
mil.
Feel like, Drake, like, I know Drake's mind, like, I don't want to work. I don't want to do the work. Yeah, I don't want to do the work. Like, I don't want to do the work.
Y'all do your thing. Like, he y'all could, baby. But he just like, man.
Like, I could, but I don't. Even though, all I really, because they brought up, because I think we talked about, like, briefly about independence, like all Drake wants to do, like, listen, I don't even want to have to tweet too much. I like just doing just the one tweet. Yeah. But that one tweet does a lot. Like, yeah, that one, when, like, he said, like, when he says, hey, I'm dropping, if he says something on Instagram, yeah, it's blowing up. All the blogs are picking it up. All the YouTube channels are picking it up. Yeah. All the radio, everybody's picking, and everybody's going to go check it out with and do whatever happens from there. So Drake, because at the point Drake is, you can't compare him to any other artist. You can't compare him to the lower artists because, like, Drake is an anomaly, and him, if he were to go independent, this the bomb that it would drop, like because I think Steve Stout, a few other people were talking about, mm-hmm, how much the music industry is banking on Drake, like, mm-hmm, it's gonna hurt whether we feel it's gonna hurt, it's actually going to hurt the music business, like, how much they're banking on Drake and how much they need Drake. More than Drake needs them. And if Drake was ever to, even though he's not going to, like, listen, if they want to do it, I don't want to do no work. But if Drake was to, like, ooh, he really has them by the balls. If he like, hey, don't make me go, you better give me one. Don't make me go independent. Cause this whole shit coming down, this whole shit coming crashing down. I know how much y'all need me for this and how much this is bringing this place and this money. This,
oh,
measure,
no,
this
he definitely keeps the lights on for a lot of buildings.
Yeah, for a lot of building, like, people don't realize it's not just me, like, he is a global image phenomenon, brand, all types of shit.
It'll get real dark in New York and in LA if Drake decided to stop fucking with people. But like I said, as far as like
input, so we may not feel like it affects me, but the scenes, the highest, like, they're like, yo, it's over, like, they know all, you know,
how much does he want, give it to him,
give him what he wants. Like, give him what he wants.
He wants 15 million, give it to him. Hey, he wants 20 million today, yep, well, hey, cut the check, you know. But like I said, as far as, like, influence and stuff, other artists, like, you know, smaller artists or whatever will realize, like, oh, and I know there's artists that have tried independent and then went back to being a labor because they're like, I got tired of paying for all the, like, I didn't realize how much shit I had to pay for. Like, oh, nah, the label handles that. Yeah. I'm cool with that. Like, I just make the music, I give them my money, and then whatever. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, some people works for, and there's people that.
Because some people need the marketing dollars behind it, because, like, some people, two artists, right, that can be perceived on the same level, same everything. One artist, like we always talk about, like, you know, it's like the Lupe Soulja Boy effect. You can take two people on the same level. One person is like, yo, I have a diehard fan base. Like, you know, they support. So I'm getting that money. I'm making that money back. The other person is going to need that Lego. Like, you need a machine behind you just to sell these records. You need your stuff to get several spins everywhere around the country. You need DJs. You need somebody like you need this. While another person has such a grip on, like, their fan base. Like, and like, I'll use an example, you know, even though not really indie, like, and people argue about his independence and not, like, what Chance the Rapper was doing before
I'm talking, Chance.
Yeah, we can have that conversation too. Before Color Book, you remember the Acid Rap era, the hold he had on his fans, his fan base, how he was selling out these festivals and all that stuff, didn't have no hits, just had a one very popular mixtape.
Very impressive.
The numbers he was doing off merch alone. The shit that he was doing off merch alone, and this is before 3 Hat. And when 3 Hat came, he like made like $4 million or $6 million in 1 year off of 3 Hat.
The Vikings are getting moaned. My bad.
Yeah,
23.
Hey, purple shame. Back to purple shame. All right, but yeah, no, and what do you? So if someone who is of a bigger name than what Chance was back then, and like had a, because sometimes it's not even about how big your fans is, about how potent your fan base is. If your fan base isn't potent, like very strong, like, oh, I only have 50,000 fans, but all 50,000 of them are gonna go buy my shit, versus like, yo, I got 1 million fans, but only 10,000 of them are gonna buy my shit. That's a whole different thing. So that's a whole different thing. So yeah. So some of these artists, like, they can't. Shout out to J. Cole. J. Cole quietly left Roc Nation and no one had no idea.
Oh shit! I totally forgot about that. I know he owned his masters and he went like that.
He owned
his
masters. Yeah. He left Roc Nation like 4 or 5 years ago and no one had, after
his initial deal was done. He was done.
He was done. Like, and people had no idea. And Cole's one of those artists where if he's like, hey, I'm dropping, he don't even have to say he dropped something. Like, just do the grapevine. Like, people just know, like, yeah, anticipating, like, I know it's coming. And then Cole just drop the link, and then people like Cole do his numbers, and, you know, he of course sells out Dreamville Fest and all that stuff. But yeah, so there are certain artists that just have that pulse. So if you have that type of pulse, yeah, I wouldn't be mad, and I would actually encourage you, yeah, to go independent. But you other niggas that need a push and need spins, like, when your song is bigger than you, the artists whose songs are bigger than them, like, people know song but have no idea whose song it is. Like, I'm talking to you niggas. Y'all need the labels. Y'all need the push. Y'all need the marketing dollars, and y'all better stay in that goddamn 360.
Basically, everybody signed to QC that's not named Lil Baby or the Migos. Yeah. Y'all should stay exactly where you are.
Stay in your lane.
They needed that. They needed the label put, even like, baby, like, maybe now, yeah, he could probably go independent and be like, yeah, now everybody knows who I am. Like, now that you're a household name and everybody knows what to expect, everybody knows what they're gonna get from you. Yeah, okay, now you can. But when he was saying wham, bitch, I'm a little baby, nah, you need a QC. Same thing with the Migos. No, y'all need a QC. Now, once you guys drop Culture and everybody was waiting on Culture 2, which was tough. Whatever, then you guys could have went independent and been, you know, because everybody knows you and whatever. But the label definitely built both of those, Baby and the Migos, to, you know, like, to the point where they could.
Lil Baby's one of those artists. That's the crazy thing about this whole being signed versus being independent thing. Lil Baby's one of those artists that I'm talking about. Like, these artists I'm talking about, like, yeah, you should go independent, you have the fan base. The ones I'm not saying all of them came up with a fan base with no label. Like, no, like, some of y'all got signed to label, got put on, people liked you as the artist and fuck with you, and you build a diehard fan base, and then left. Y'all are good, like, cause, like, both of these categories of artists are both got signed, got on a label, they put the marketing dollars behind it. One just touch the hearts of their fans, and the other one just has songs and people have no idea who sings them, or they might know who it is, but they're like, but I'm not gonna spend money on that album. You like Crit was one of those artists. He was on Def Jam was dropping the ball with him, though. There was, but him going independent, even though he's making more now than he did when he was with Def Jam, even though he doesn't have the little marketing dollars they they even put behind him in the first place. But he's like, he's way happier now. He's getting way, even though he doesn't have the status or the, you know, that in the exposure and play marketing dollars that he had before. It, you know, he built his fan base, and people like, oh, let me check out Twitter. Oh, people that like him, like, oh, I really love this guy. I really fuck with his music. Now he has that. But he needed that. He needed a label, though. He needed to sign to a label to get to that point, to get to people to see him. And then once they saw him, then they grabbed onto him. And now you can go independent. So yeah, I'm not saying no. You underground don't sign to, yeah, no, yeah, sign to label. If they can put the dollars behind, QC can put you on a wave or on a plateau where you can be seen, and you get, all right, and what you do with that, back to the Drake stimulus package, what you do with that, that's completely up to you. You can make them like you, make, you know, love you, depending on how good your shit is. And yeah, now, and then once you do that, yeah, then I'd say, hey, once your contract's up, don't renegotiate for new. Hey, if you're one of those artists, yeah, I encourage you, definitely get out of there.
Yeah, no, so most people, unless you are that special of an artist, the label can help you. And then, but again, just like any contract, just like anything, you don't have to re-up. You can always fulfill your requirements, your 2-3 albums, whatever, or whatever the stipulations are, whatever. You can fulfill that and do your own thing. Or you can also not fulfill that and they can drop you. They be like, fuck it, you ain't got it, whatever, drop you, and then you know, on your own or whatever. So like, you can always, I think labels actually help a lot of artists more than not. Like,
I agree.
And a lot of people want to like shit on them or whatever and say, hey, you just do it, but you could do it on your own. Nah, a lot of artists can't. Majority of artists can't. And a lot of people speak on it from a winning like plateau or whatever, like you won already, like, oh yeah, it's easy for you to say you already have a number one record, you already have a blah 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 blah, blah that you did with a label, and yeah, the splits are probably bad, but that's what you signed up for. But a lot of you guys, the splits are in the label's favor because the label is taking all the hits, putting up all the money, taking all the risk. Like, if you don't blow, or if you don't get no number ones, or if you don't, you know what I mean, like if it doesn't work, guess who's out of money? Not you. Well, you are, but you didn't have any money in the first place. But like, guess who's out all the money that they put up to try to push you? The label. So yeah, of course the splits are in their favor if you win. And like I said, it just is what it is. I think the labels get a worse rep than they are deserving of. I mean, like, splits are splits. But like, and like Dame has always said, shit, if you put up your own money and you be a boss. But a lot of people aren't willing to put up their own money in the first place. Like, they, yeah, you want to complain after the fact, but you didn't put up your own money for it. One, because either you didn't have it or whatever. Like, and I'm not saying like some labels aren't vultures and, you know, whatever. Like, I, for sure. But again, they're taking all the risks, they're spending all the money for it.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, oh, they're bigger. Yeah, they're taking all. They're putting the money up. You didn't put none of this money. It's like in that scene, and you guys serve. Like, oh, how come they get five and we gotta split the rest? Like, well, why don't you put $5,000 up? And when we win, we'll split it all 10 ways. Right, yeah, then. I thought so. Yeah, so. You don't want to do that, do
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
We put the money up.
Yeah, so. Like, what are you talking? Like, why don't you put the money up and then when we'll split it all? Nah, it's different. They put all the money up. So, yes, Mark Houston and Amari, I got the bigger splits, nigga, because they was out here making runs.
my dancing drug dealers. You Got Served is a wild movie, man.
Wild.
That's my nostalgia topic today. Oh, You Got Served is some sick.
Bro, that hospital scene is still wild to me.
Oh my god.
Let me go. J-Book punching the wall. Ah, but Sean, I'll tell you,
never.
Oh yeah. Hey, guys. Little saying. Hey guys, when I get the dance draw, never punk. the way he said it to never punk.
I'm like, sir, I just see at least 3 or 4 HIPAA violations right here. Like, you are not that kid's parents. They should not tell you any information about that child.
He's playing that, you, Leah.
Yeah, of course, the classic. He's playing you, Leah.
Yo, that movie is so wild. Now that you think about it, these niggas are making drug runs to pay for their dancing careers.
Pay for their dancing careers. Now they're known as the dancing drug dealers, you know, dancing drug runners. You know, they transport them packs, you know.
Oh, man, that is crazy when you actually think
about
it.
But they can't actually say that it's drugs in there. In the movie, if you notice, because they want to make sure you know, because the kids watch, but you know that they're up to no good. They're in trouble. And the dude's like, hey, squeeze Mark. He's like, hey, I'll make sure you never dance again. You better get my money.
He took away his dance.
Now get out of my sight.
He threatened him with his dancing career. You won't dance again.
Never dance again. He did it as dancing lane. And then pump it up, come on. And I'm like, yo, this one's for Little Saint. Pump it up. Just please. Like,
yo, that was. Now that I think about it, yo, that is the wildest movie.
This one's for Little Saint has become one of them iconic lines, though, on the internet and just Black Twitter. Shit. Anytime they about to.
And then, like, the breakdancer dude that, like, never danced.
Dancing. We heard he was nice back then, but he quit. He don't dance. He don't do it no more. And he came, and then this is the guy that came out, and he just did a little squiggly worm dance. Oh, he's back. That was the greatest dancer in the streets. He was a myth and a legend, and that's what he's giving us. It's like,
I'm going to give it a buck, though. Hey, they dance was fire, yo.
It was great dance.
Man, Dancing in the Rain was fire, too.
Them niggas is killing.
People still remake that. Take away my anxiety. Rivalry breaks me down on through my knees. Please.
When they did a little running thing,
they was dancing in the rain.
They was.
This was just a movie just to showcase that Omarion was nice, but Marcus, you could tell Razz B didn't want to be there. You could tell, and this was a Chris Stokes film, by the way. You thought Tyler Perry's ride was
shout
wild.
Shout to Chris Stokes because that was definitely a money grab. Like, yo, Chris Stokes is the biggest.
He struck while the iron was hot. B2K was on fire. Man. He broke the group up too early though. They could have got one more out by then.
Chris Stokes definitely made a bunch of money really fast. Cause what would they have for like?
It was a 2 year run.
That nigga made a lot of money in 2 years, yo.
Now that movie came out in 30, but remember they were already broken up by then, so the rest of the niggas couldn't even come to the premiere. It was just Omarion.
They shot the movie when they were still together. It came
that
out
that 2 year
after,
run.
Like, yeah.
That 01 to 03 was the B2K run.
That's crazy.
And then January of 04 is when when that movie came out. I'll never forget, but I'll never forget before that in November, 2 months prior. That's when they broke up as a group, and girls was going crazy around school. Crying over Jay Boog and hey, P2K, I that's one of those things. Like, I can't believe I remember that. Like, the reaction, like, because girls really was crying and felt the way and all that stuff. Like, this, like, first the Fat Boys break up, but this one really hurt. This really, really hurt. Like, I thought somebody died at school. Like, because girls run out and all that.
That was a crazy moment. Yeah, man, like that was a crazy moment in school when B2K broke up. When
R. Kelly was writing like the hits, like, yo, this, it was a sicko era. Like, Chris Dogs, R. Kelly, it was
real
wild.
Nasty.
That whole situation is
man.
Just nuts.
Where's J Boog at now, man? Is he still here?
He was on Love and Hip Hop last time I saw him. Him and Lil Fizz were fighting over the same woman.
That was Omarion and Fizz was fighting over the woman.
No, Omarion refused to be on the show.
Refused to be on the show, but J Boog was fighting on Omarion's behalf. Yeah. Because Lil Fizz, like, yo, you did your friend like that. Like, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Friends with this nigga.
From what I seen, Fizz was like, nigga, we weren't friends like that. Like,
yeah, he basically was like, bro, we ain't really grew up together like that.
Nah, but shoot, cool. But shoot Fizz some bail, man. I know that move.
We was work friends.
I ain't really
coworkers.
I know what that's like. We had the friend. Like, yeah, no, we just worked together. I don't really know. Like, you know, we shared some hotels and some clothes and stuff. We lived in the same crib for a while. I remember.
I did my rap verses when y'all went in the studio. I laid my shit and left.
Yo, you remember when Lil Fizz thought he was gonna be the next Jay-Z? Remember he kept doing all them Jay-Z references? They used to. it irked me. It used to irk my soul. Remember when he thought he was going to be Hove? No one remembers. I remember that shit. Remember
Old
he,
Fizzle.
He young
was,
Fizzle.
Young Fizzle thought he was about to be that.
All right, what's up, ladies? This little Fizz. I used to, when I was 14, I used to do a little Fizz impression. It was illustrious. It was great. But that shit bothered me Fizzle, so much.
Fizzle thought he was nice for real.
He thought he was nice with the boy. He didn't give us not one quotable, one hot line. And I remember people was running with like any little thing like, all right, I hope she's willing to learn a little Fizz lesson. Like, I mean, people thought that was dope. I don't know why. But that...
what were we talking about? It reminds me of Pledge People. We were talking about the other day. Like,
it's a good topic. Who carried who more?
Wayne carrying Birdman on Life I Like Son's album.
Remember that album?
Or Pledge P with Pretty Ricky. And then, what you think, Russ? Who you think carried more baggage?
I'm gonna go Pleasure P. I'm gonna go Pleasure P.
Exactly. You know why? Because he had to carry three whack niggas. He had to carry three whack niggas.
That's why I said Pleasure P. Baby like, Blue. Whoa. Like, granted, like Birdman was wild trash.
He was.
But
he ruined every song. But he ruined.
So Wayne had to carry one nigga, and Wayne was the hottest rapper of all time at that point.
It was slight work.
Yeah, like okay.
Notice Wayne always had to start off the song. Yeah. Like, I ain't gonna do y'all like that. Have Birdman like you ain't gonna get through the song. You ain't gonna get to my verse.
But I'm like Pleasure P had to carry three horrible niggas. Like none of them could rap, and Pleasure P was carrying them niggas for two albums. He did it twice.
He did it twice, but that's the thing. The reason why it's more impressive with Pleasure P is because not only did he carry them for two albums, people consider those albums great.
Really great.
Despite the fact there are three whack niggas on every song, ruining the song. That's how good Pleasure P was.
They finally gave Pleasure P some help on the second album on one song, So Confused.
So Confused.
So Confused, they finally gave him somebody else to fucking sing with him to help him out. But other than that, nigga was just carrying them niggas for pop hits to B-sides to everybody.
Pleasure P couldn't just do the hook. I have to have a verse, too, because if I don't have a verse, any song where I don't even have a verse on, it's going to struggle to make this good.
Man.
He made Up and Down one of them on the desk. Being classic, yeah. I like it real slow, like walking through the door. He used to do that.
Man, he was doing their ad
libs.
He was doing their ad libs. His ad libs.
Oh yeah, he was ad libbing during their verses. Yeah, the lady caught me expecting. Oh yeah, baby, we're like I wanna jump on it.
My nigga was legit. He was doing his ad libs in their ad libs. Like
he was doing their ad libs.
Carrying every single song, and Baby Blue asked almost, I was in the studio when you guys left.
We remember you were on the track like, who baby girl, give me a coochie, hold the name on my hoop day. Like, yeah, shut the fuck up, Baby Blue.
You should have stayed
Blue,
late.
Baby Blue,
like, yo, man, shout out to Pleasure P. I feel bad that you caught that case and all that stuff, but you know what I mean? Like, hey, hopefully it wasn't true, but shout out to Pleasure P, man.
Yeah, I think they ended up proving that it wasn't true.
Yeah, it wasn't true.
But like that was okay. Then that definitely hurt. That hurt both brands. So, yeah.
remember they tried to replace Pleasure?
They replaced them twice. One album, they had one nigga, and then the next album, they had another nigga. Like, just couldn't find nobody. They just couldn't find find no nigga.
Damn, y'all can't carry us? Oh, shit.
Damn, you can't carry, you can't hold this burden on your back? You can't carry this burden? Damn.
You can't do the ad libs?
See, Hov tried to sell him like, hey, listen, you motherfuckers saying to Mayhove. Mayhove said, okay, so they really thought they could be like, oh, shit, we just get another nigga that can sing. There's plenty of niggas that sing out here. You sing, get in the group. All right, are you nobody? And you sing, get in the group. You can't carry us?
Oh shit!
Can't give us no fire ad libs.
Damn, man, Pleasure P over doing songs with Wayne, man. Oh shit! Damn.
Keep working with Neo, having people right now. Damn, man. I guess. Hey, y'all, let's put this rumor out on. let's put this case out on him.
Yo, let's get him out of here. Let's say he was messing with some underage joint. Yo, that's crazy.
That is crazy, man.
The Pretty Ricky story is crazy when you think about it. And now Spectacular is a social media guru and Baby Blue.
$75 million. Baby Blue like, oh, yeah, I'm going to jump in this too. PPP loans. Whoa.
I'm like, he just got bumped for some scamming shit. Like, yo, like,
baby girl, just drop in, just send me your deposit. And yeah, like, he thought he was really, he thought he was killing the loan games. Like, yo.
So he just got bumped.
He was in the studio all night recording this recording this jingle.
Slick him high just somewhere in Dade County doing his thing.
Yeah, just chilling. You don't even really care about, but hey, listen. He was happy with any money in the head. It was fun.
Yo, Slick him high. Yeah, man.
He was just in it. Slick him was just in it for like just the women and all that stuff because he knew he was ugly. So he's like, I'm just, hey, this is good. I'm cool. Hey, I'm cool with this. I'm cool. I'm perfectly fine with all. Yeah. Oh, but we weren't getting paid. We just, I'm fine. Hey, I'm happy with this. I'm cool with this.
Slick him ain't give two shits. Slick was like, shit, hey, I'm getting some money. Other than that, I would have been in
hey, better than that. Hey, you know how much I would have made if I was solo trying to come up?
Shit, I'm good.
Hey, you know what else I had going on? Not a goddamn thing.
I was just a Dade County nigga, man. I ain't care. But yeah, nah, that's funny, man. That's wild. That's wild. But shout out to my dog, Pleasure Pete, man.
Yeah, but Birdman, that's also no easy task too. You notice that Wayne had to be the greatest rapper alive in order to carry Birdman for an album, and they still didn't say that album was good. But they liked Wayne's verses.
But at least like he had something to work with. Like Birdman, when he was in Big Time, it was like him and Manny Fresh used to, you know, like rap. Birdman was actually like when he did the song with Tony Braxton, like he was actually like at the top at one point, like. Wayne had at least had like
the
something.
The Big Timers was Manny Fresh's funny ass lines and great beats. Birdman was not near.
but you do you
he had
you,
the Big Timers.
You remember when Birdman was at the top though? Like
no,
like,
I
he went solo
because
when the Big Timers broke up, like he like again. I'm just saying Wayne had something to work with. Pleasure Pete did not.
I know. You gotta say it to the listeners how it sounds wild. Like, yo, he had something to work. Birdman was something to work with. Yeah, it's a wild sentence. It's like,
but Birdman did have a run. It was, yeah.
But Birdman saw how hard it was trying to just beat ours. Like, man, let me go back to stealing niggas.
Let me get back to signing these niggas in these dark deals. But, for sure. Like, what? Pleasure P, these niggas legit. Nigga, he had to work with a light skinned nigga with a six pack, a nigga named Slick 'em High that didn't know how to, that was just happy to be there. that was just reluctant to be their brother.
Yeah.
and fucking Baby Blue, Scammer Blue.
Scammer Blue. He saw how fast Spectacular was making that money. Let me try. He tried during the pandemic.
Oh,
boy.
Scammer Blue over here. Nah, that's funny, man.
That's how you know that like you really fucked up because even our stepdad knew about it. Like, you hear about the rapper, man? Like he was telling me. I'm like, I'm thinking like, how does he know about this? Like, how does everybody know? Old people know. Like, everybody knows about what happened. Like,
oh, Scammer Blue.
he was out here and
the Vikings scored 23-7.
Oh.
Yeah, we actually scored a touchdown too. So
oh shit!
17-6.
Oh shit!
Oh yo, snap! How we gonna lose today? Are we gonna?
How we gonna lose today?
That one point still. I'm still mad about that. I'm still mad about that one point. Like,
shout out my guy Russell Wilson, man.
Oh, Danger Russ.
Which made us feel good because somebody tried to. I remember I was walking down the street. I was walking down the block because our sister lives down the street and. A guy comes out of the neighborhood, like, hey, you see the end of the Vikings game, man? I was one, but man, this is how much we're so much losers and we're used to losing. Like, man, man, that showed us, man, that we could hang. I'm like, yeah, but we didn't win.
We competed, but
we lost, but we lost to the Seahawks. And, like, that was his whole thing. Like, yeah, but we lost to the Seahawks. And it was a close loss. To the Seahawks. so yeah, it felt like a win to him. Like to him, that was the win. Like that was the win to him. Like no, I actually winning is winning to me still.
Yeah, so actual winning is winning. Who y'all got in the Green Bay Tampa game?
Aaron Rodgers.
No,
I'm good. Aaron Rodgers. But
he's Aaron Rodgers.
No, I'm good. Old GOAT Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers playing great this year. The Packers look good. Defense looks good enough. The run game is basically kind of doing similar to what they did last year, too. And, yeah, I don't really have too much faith in Tom Brady and Tampa Bay, to be honest. It's been very up and down. And, I don't really have a lot of faith in them. And I'm really pissed at Tom Brady because I drafted Mike Evans, and he's been kind of meh. Kind of meh this year. And Tom Brady's been kind of meh. So I'm going to go with Green Bay.
Brady's throwing ducks.
That too.
Like Skip loves him, but I'm like, hey, Brady's out here throwing ducks. Which Tom Brady's a winner. He never was like a super, super talented or accurate quarterback to me, in my opinion. And he's continued to be that, but now he's just not in the the Bill Belichick system anymore. So I think Green Bay is gonna take it. To be honest.
I got Green. Honestly, the way Green Bay's been looking, I know it's just kind of they feel like they kind of do this most years. They get off to a good start and then don't really do anything in the playoffs. I think between them and Seattle is going to come down to the NFC.
The Super Bowl is up in the air to me, fam. I don't see a clear cut. You can kind of give it to the Chiefs again, but the Chiefs, they're looking steady, but they're not looking they're no prohibitive favorite in the NFL right now. To me, I don't think so.
Yeah, they're not looking like because the Chiefs last year, I was like, this is a wrap. This year, they're still kind of they're still beating teams. I think they lost to the Raiders last week.
Yeah.
And I was like, the defense is still kind of questionable. Pat Mahomes is still Pat Mahomes, obviously. So, yeah, it's definitely been it's gonna be one of those up in the air years where it's
because even Baltimore is not even looking as dominant as they did last year.
Because
so.
I think the biggest thing too is when we see teams that do really good one year, they'll be back next year. It's like, no, they won't. We do not know that. It's like when young teams lose in the NBA playoffs. Like, oh man, this team will be back next year. You don't know that. That's not guaranteed. They told me the Boston Celtics with Jason Tatum were gonna make the finals all them years. Like, oh man, they pushed LeBron to Game 7 in 2017.
All those years, Jason Tatum's been in the league.
I'm talking
all those years, he's been in the league 10 years or something.
I'm talking about after the 20. I think it was 2017. When they got to
when
Eastern
he was
Conference
a rookie.
Yeah, the first time they're like, oh, they'll be back next year in the Eastern. I'm like, no, they won't.
He was a rookie.
Won't.
But no, Jason Tatum's nice. I fuck with Jason Tatum. So I believe in him. They definitely would have played the Lakers a hell of a lot better than Miami did. I actually would have predicted them winning two games as opposed to
would have got them out of there in five.
Nah, y'all didn't get the Heat out in five.
Hey,
the Heat.
Hey, no, the Heat was nice, man.
No, they
Spoelstra.
Weren't.
They had Spoelstra
no,
as a coach.
They had no superstar. Jimmy Butler averages 20 points a fucking game. He's not even a superstar. He's just a really good player. he's an all-star. They went six with y'all.
Explain those levels. All-star versus superstar.
All-star, you're a really good player, and but if you're a superstar, you can at least average damn near 30.
Yeah.
And you're the number one option, and you want to be the number one option.
Jimmy's not the number one option in Miami?
No, he doesn't want to be the number one option. They fucking talked about three rookies. They're like, yo, Tyler Hero, Gordon Dragic, Bam.
Should he have the name Jimmy Buckets if it's only 20? If it's only 20? A bucket means you can drop 30.
Yeah,
20, because like you said, all-star versus superstar. Jimmy Buckets should go to a superstar. Should be a superstar, or should be reserved for when you're a superstar and you're dropping the 30 plus games instead of just the 20.
Jimmy will give you 38 one game, and the next game he give you 14. And it's just I think if you pair him with another superstar, I think he'll definitely be good in that role. But yeah, it's as your number one. Nah, I don't. I mean, he gonna work hard, but at the same time, it's it's low key. It still comes down to talent.
Was
so.
Jimmy Butler right to curse out the Timberwolves until?
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. 100%. 100%. Nah, I was on.
He was crazy. They was talking to him like he was crazy.
I'm on Jimmy's side. He should have told Andrew weak ass Wiggins, nigga, you're a fucking bum. Nigga, hey man.
These are the views of Orin. Orin has a vendetta against Andrew Wiggins.
Bum ass Andrew Wiggins.
Since rookie year, even when we went to go see him play he was putting up numbers that game.
Fucking bum. He was a bum at Kansas too. He had a good team. We definitely wasted a draft pick, he's gonna do fine playing with Clay and Steph. he's gonna do fine.
That's where he's going next.
No, that's where he is.
What? Oh, Wiggins.
Yeah.
I was talking about Butler.
Jimmy gonna stay down in Miami.
Jimmy's he was kind of the founding piece for it. They already promised him we're gonna try to get you another max player. So.
He's down in Miami.
Because they got to figure out because Bam's they think he's gonna try to push off his re-signing from this summer to next summer so they can try to pair him another superstar down there because they basically gonna have to pay him.
Wasn't Bam? I thought Bam was a rookie.
Bam got drafted two or three years ago.
Oh, okay. Oh, so
yeah, because remember, because
oh, he's finished.
Because remember when they drafted him, that's the, remember back when Whiteside was putting up all them bullshit ass numbers.
No.
Okay, Whiteside back when Hassan Whiteside was putting up like 24 and like 14 rebounds and like 7 blocks.
Oh, Bam was on the team.
They drafted Bam and then like Whiteside stopped playing because they were like, okay, well Bam's like significantly better. So
he's a bum.
And they ended up trading Whiteside to Portland.
Yeah, you see how much of a bum he is. Nigga blocked a couple shots and they made a couple dunks and they threw him the bag. That was a waste of money.
Yeah, Miami was throwing bags back there. They were throwing money to everybody.
I still feel bad though what happened to Chris Bosh because they definitely just cashed him out and then he got that heart disease. It was heart, right?
He had a he had a blood clot, I think.
Yeah,
he had a blood clot in his lung. That's what it was.
Yeah, yeah, something crazy where he just couldn't play ball anymore.
Yeah.
But
he was like still trying to get out there. And they were like, "Nah, bro, no.
You're not about to die on the court. Yeah, not on our watch. Sorry, but yeah, no, Miami. They ain't recouped. They haven't recouped since Brian left. They don't know what they're doing.
I think though, I wonder if they're gonna keep Dragic too, because I mean Dragic is getting older, and that injury. But because he's supposed to be a free agent this year too, so they said they want to bring him back, but like. They still got to agree to a contract. I wouldn't be surprised if they let him kind of dip
off. Where is Greek Freak going?
Me personally, I think.
Yes, this has been the big debate. The big.
This is what I think. I think every player that has a player option, in my opinion, I think a lot of them are going to just basically opt in and then just try to, because they want to see the caps and be in negotiate for next year. I think the Greek Freak is going to give Milwaukee one more year, and then see what happens. But if they don't get to the finals next year or if they make like, you know, a whole, they don't make a lot of trades to get him more help, I definitely could see him either going to Miami or I don't see Golden State. A lot of people say Golden State, but I just don't really see how that really works like financially. Cause you have to, unless they, you know, they can find somebody to take that Draymond contract and find somebody to take that Andrew Wiggins contract. But Miami, I definitely see Miami being the most viable option. Or if I had to throw like a dark horse in there, I'm gonna go Toronto just randomly, just because you know. Just throw Toronto in there just randomly. You know?
I mean, you gotta do it for the six. But listen, all right. So with Giannis, I also am like, no, I highly doubt it's too difficult for them to make that happen. Whatever in Golden State. Now Miami, that would actually be I'm pretty sure Jimmy would be happy. I think Jimmy would be happy.
No.
I didn't say there was going to be the greatest or winning.
Nah, Miami would still be in the same predicament. Like, we don't have nobody that we can go trust to just go get a bucket, because we easily know how to shut our teams. Know what to do against Giannis. So we've seen Kawhi do it, and then we watched Jimmy Butler do it. So clearly, all you got to do
when
is
he was
not
with Milwaukee, with Miami. See, Skip said, "Listen, if he's the Greek Freak, man, he's Giannis. So and he can't be. He's the next thing. So bring him with Jimmy buckets, a guy that can shoot."
I think people need to stop.
Spoelstra as the coach, the great Spoelstra.
I'm still like at the point where I'm like, hey man, Giannis, y'all gotta stop saying he's the next. The nigga's been in the league 10 years. Like,
he's the Greek Freak.
He's not next.
Freak,
like his path, like it's he's over
he's
there.
He's the next guy. He's the next. He's gonna take the mantle from LeBron James.
Like, no, like,
and he's gonna.
He's too far in, fam. He's not the next nothing, dude. Like he's
the phenom, man.
He is.
They've been hyping Giannis up.
He's a guy that can run really fast and dunk a basketball.
Oh man, they put this man on his pedestal, and they've been running like he was supposed to be the next face of the league. I really feel like that this year was the year that it really died down.
Do y'all think Kyrie and KD gonna work?
Nope. I've been saying I don't think that's gonna
for
work. I think that's
injury or because meant like you don't think they're gonna clash.
I think organization wise, I feel like that team looks really fun in 2K and looks like it's gonna be a great team to use.
Real fun to play with.
I think when it gets in the court,
that'd definitely be a fire.
Yeah, like
team on 2K.
I don't know. I just feel like from both of them coming from like such stable organizations, I feel like if that organization has like some stability and they can get that hierarchy, it's just like, hey, you know, because each team we all know, like at the end of the day, we all know who the alpha is on certain teams. Mm-hmm. Between KD and Kyrie, I would think it'd be KD, but Kyrie's always kind of a wild card to me. Mm-hmm. And, like, when they were like, yeah, man. Like, I know when he said the whole thing about the coaching thing with Steve Nash, and he was like, well, it's not like we really even need a coach. I get what he was saying, where he was basically saying, like, you know,
he said that?
Yeah, he basically, like, yeah. He's like,
hey,
anybody,
Kyrie is
I thought he was,
else,
like,
man.
Trying to say, yeah, because we so dope with, like, we don't even need a coach. We just going to come
so
out there.
I think what he was saying was basically, like, at any time, like, we all can bring ideas to the table, and we can all be like, hey, you know, everyone kind of is like an open, like it's an open input kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I just personally feel like the way Kyrie's demeanor is, I feel like an organization with that, he kind of needs to be in a position where it's like, okay, we already know like our defined roles. I just don't think it's going to work personally, just because like I've seen a lot of teams, they get together and it looks really cool on paper. I'm like, oh, this is super exciting, all these buckets. And when you get in the court, it's just like, okay, this is not exactly what happened. But if they, but like Orin said earlier, if they both can stay healthy, you know, I'm cool with being wrong, but I right now do not think that's really going to work. I feel like it's going
to
look
good. It works because KD always wants to play the back. Like, he's never wanted to play the front, and he's never played the front, like, in any position. Like, even though everybody's like, oh, shit, we got KD, but he was always okay with it being Steph's team.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's always wanted to play the second fiddle or play the back. And like I said, with Kyrie, old head case Irvin, old flat earth Irvin, but I think he obviously wants to be the alpha, and I think KD's okay with him being the alpha. And, you know, even though KD will take the shots here and there, but he doesn't have to be the dominant personality or anything.
And I also want to see how KD's gonna come back too, because that kid is obviously like he's had almost 2 years now. Basically. He's had obviously some time to heal up. I definitely just want to see like if his game's gonna change now too. I'm not worried about him. I'm 100% worried about Kyrie's health, because every year just seems like some shit. Kyrie starts off every season good because it happened terrible. In Boston. Season was dope. He got hurt, came back in the playoffs, and no one ever talks about this. They were trash when they went to the playoffs,
definitely,
bro. And then, like, you know, I think with the Nets too, if they can get somebody that actually want to play defense on the perimeter too, like, I think if they get like another guard, it's going to be interesting. They do still have LeVert was really nice in the bubble, even though they, you know, didn't get, you know, we didn't.
Come on, they didn't even
half the team was dead. Yeah, I'm like, so he was nice. So I definitely want to see how he's gonna play next year. They still got DeAndre Jordan on the team because he's KD's friend, basically. So KD,
shout out to KD,
got him a homie contract.
Yeah, shout out to KD.
So yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see what happens. Hopefully, it's not too much like.
Hey, what happened to Blake Griffin?
Blake Griffin is trapped in Detroit, and he is on a terrible contract. So his career is going to end.
People go there to die.
Nobody wants to trade.
You see, Cole didn't want to go there
because you saw what happened to Blake. Blake was dunking on everybody, and then Blake kept messing up his knee. Now Blake shoot threes. Blake was like, "Nah, I'm cool."
Or you want to say it? You want to say the quote from Vince Carter? Orin's over there dying.
Like, nah, man. So
you see, Blake Griffin made the same mistake we've seen niggas in the past do. And he didn't work on a jumper enough. Can't dunk forever.
Wait. Can't
dunk forever.
Hey, Russ said, now Blake is shooting threes.
Blake, man, that's why I kind of know at some point when certain players kind of know, they can kind of see the end of the road. Like, okay, this is a.
Blake waited too late, though.
No, see, and honestly, with Blake Griffin, his career is interesting because he was on the Clippers when they had Donald Sterling, racist ass. Yeah. And Donald Sterling was wild with Blake. He was treating Blake like Blake was definitely a slave.
Yo, that's the nastiest thing ever. Like, Blake Griffin is known for dunking on niggas, and now he's shooting three.
The Clippers told Blake Griffin that when they pitched him, like, based on that max deal, like before they traded him, like a year after, they pitched him as basically, like, he was going to be like the next MLK in sport. It was wild. It was a nasty ass pitch. And they were like, had this whole mural, and it was like his face with like Malcolm X and MLK. And they were basically saying, you know, you're the future of our franchise. He signed that big ass contract.
This is the nastiest thing.
They got him the fuck up out of there after him and Chris Paul fell out. Sent that man to Detroit, bro. The Detroit Pistons, Detroit don't even try to compete. They just trying to sell tickets, bro.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that arena is nice, though. Me and Meeks went to a Pistons game.
I heard super nice.
Shout out to D Rose. I know Little Caesars was originated in
Detroit.
In Detroit. I didn't know that.
Detroit is actually a no.
I was wondering, like, how the fuck these $5 pieces pay for an arena? Like, all right, get the big, you know, sponsor of arena. But, and then one of my guys told me, they originated in Detroit.
Little known thing to outside of Detroit's actually a well-known pizza city. Like, they're known for their pizza. Not just their from the chains, but also to, like, their pizza spot. Like, people like, yo, you got to go to Detroit. Because they'll even, there's, like, little things where Detroit will say, like, with Chicago deep dish, like, oh, we got better deep dish.
Are y'all New York or Chicago with the pizza?
I'm more Chicago style. I like thicker pizza. I like thicker. I like pan pizza. I like deep dish. I like stuff. I'm not even if the cheese is, like, cause I know New York it'd be flat, but it's like really good. But like, I like thicker pizza more so.
Where you at with the rest?
I think I'm half and half because I don't like deep dish, but I do like thicker pan. I like pan pizza and I like thicker pizza. I also like it thin too. So I'm kind of 50-50.
Yeah, I'm a roll.
Wait, because I think I remember. Or the way you asked Russ was so hilarious to me. We asked Russ one time, Hey, Russ, have you ever ate pizza? Hey, I've never seen you eat pizza. Have you ever ate pizza? Like, he was so confused.
Do a little dominoes like, here and there.
Like, with the thought of Russ never knowing about pizza, like, never had pizza before. Like, never. Like, it's a new thing.
I've never seen Russ eat pizza.
Yeah.
I've known Russ for almost a decade. I've never seen him eat pizza.
I usually do, like, I do the frozen California Pizza Kitchen pizzas. I do dominoes every now and then.
Shout out to Papa Murphy.
I didn't know they had frozen. I thought you could only get CBK out there in Cali.
All those restaurants got closed, so yeah, all they got is frozen now.
Yeah.
Shout out to Whole Foods Pizza too. It's kind of a little expensive, but you know.
But asking Russ, have you ever had pizza? have you ever eaten?
Hey, but nah, I'm definitely more Chicago than New York. I like deep dish, like thicker pizza. I actually really hate pizzas that are cut in squares. Even though Broadway pizza is good, but I don't like having to take like 7 pieces at a time to
you just got half a slice.
Cut my pizza like a regular, and 8 slices just like a regular pizza. I don't know. I also like meticulous about that. But
New York pizza only adds to the arrogance of New York. Because me and Russ watched the Chicago, New York thing on Black Blasphemy, where these niggas just, and these are comedians, and they got to tour these cities. Like, yo, but the thing, one guy on there was like, you know what, I know I'm probably going to get slandered for this, but fuck Chicago and New York, the whole thing. and then he went to this whole rant, but the rant had facts, especially New York. They mostly focused on New York, on the New York aspect and the arrogance of New Yorkers, and the shit just had me dying. Like, the shit they were saying, like, about New York, because one of the main points I took away from it is New Yorkers, because New York is big, New York is huge, and they have all these boroughs, and so if you're from one borough, and you're a comedian and you work rooms in other boroughs, like they'll equate that. It's like the equivalent of, oh yeah, I kill a room in Chicago, kill a room in New Orleans, kill a room in Houston, kill a room in LA, and kill a room in St. Louis, which is not the same thing because it's still New York. Even though, yeah, I went from Brooklyn to Queens, they still get your the quote that always stuck with me was, they're local without even knowing they're local. Like, and Ryan Davis said, I've never seen anyone bomb more than a New York nigga in the comic, because they'll go to the other rooms and they will talk about, like, yeah, you know the subways, you know, I was on, you know, you can go to the bodega and like, yeah, in Dominican, like, ain't no Dominicans here. you are in Arizona, ain't no they'll bomb it. So like, and their pizza also adds to that, because like, they'll have this arrogance just off the strength that it's from New York. It's automatically better than anywhere else. They don't like shit unless it's a New York thing. And like, and
funny thing too about New York is like, people that are like from Brooklyn or from Queens, they be like, we don't go to Manhattan, like, we don't like it as big and as popping as Manhattan. They, like, they literally treat each borough like it's its own like city for real, like just a borough. But people are like, nah, we stay in Brooklyn, we don't go to that side, or we don't go to Queens, or we don't go, like, or we, well, stay out the Bronx, because I heard the craziest people in the world are from the Bronx.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's
another thing, like, you know how a lot of us, especially out here, like, comedians know that, because New York niggas tell us every chance they get, and they don't realize, the audience don't give a fuck. Like, yo, the Bronx is crazy, yo. Yo, South Bronx, yo, but we don't fuck with Manhattan, am I right, guys? Like, nigga, we don't, nigga, you are in Bloomington. What the fuck? Yo, rats be big, motherfucker. Yeah, you ever be in the project building, you gotta climb this, like, nigga, they don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Yo, because Dominican Poppy be out here with, like, yeah, niggas in New York be so regional, but because all the media is there, all the record labels there, the fact that it's so fucking huge and it's so diverse, they'll be the biggest thing in New York and all the boroughs, and think that they're worldwide and not know that they're local because they're the biggest in the biggest city in the biggest market. But they don't know that they're regional. They like, and I can see how they can get caught up in that delusion, and also get caught up in the delusion that their pizza is the greatest pizza in the world. Like, you can find fire pizza in so many other places. And then what do you say? Like, yeah, y'all serve y'all pizza on a trash can lid. Like, I don't give a fuck about it. Like, there's no sun in New York. Like, you only see the sun in Manhattan and Harlem. Like, have you ever seen a New York rap video? Does that ever look fun?
Oh, yeah.
have you ever seen a Wu-Tang video?
He said, what rappers actually make videos in actual New York?
In actual New York. Not in the mansion, not in Times Square, like actual New York. And the sun don't come out. He said, the sun don't ever come out at our heavy night. It looks like London in this bitch. The sun don't come out in New York. It's hilarious. But yeah, I'm definitely rolling with Chicago pizza. I really fuck with that more. Because you can get that in New York style in several other places. But like Chicago deep dish, like you can only get like, just like certain, like, certain stuff made in Louisiana, yeah, you, like, other people can have, like, Louisiana style in other states, like, it's not going to be the same if you did not get it in New Orleans. Like, there's certain cities that are just like that, so they can't duplicate certain dishes or something like that. And, because another thing could try to say, Chicago got the best soul food, because in his argument was like, yo, this girl made, your mom made kitchen, like, yeah, but her mom's from Mississippi. Nigga, the best soul food, like, I thought he was going to name a soul food restaurant. Like, no, they do got good soul food restaurants, because he said the South doesn't make the best soul food. Chicago got the best. I was like, oh, so he's going to name a soul food restaurant, because they do got a few, but I don't know if they're, I'm pretty sure if you name that, niggas can name soul food restaurants in the South way better. But he said, he went to this girl's house, and she made, like, oh, well, yeah, there's a black woman that can cook very well. And also, her family is from that. Because someone broke down the fact that one of the niggas was from Chicago. Like, you know that Chicago is, the black Chicago is 90% Mississippi, nigga? Like,
from Mississippi.
You ever heard of the real great migration?
Before they migrated up here to Minneapolis in 96.
Definitely from Mississippi. But, yeah, so. Yeah, man, so episode 30, Ball. Yeah,
yes, sir.
Update, the Giants are tied with the weak-ass Washington football team, and the Vikings are still getting boned, and the Eagles are still getting boned.
Wait, but how much?
The
Vikings, they're really
getting
boned? I thought we scored. Yeah,
they scored, but then they scored again, so.
Yeah, but look who we scored against.
So, yeah, it's 30-7 in the Vikings game, and then the Eagles game is 24-6.
So. We're on the 5-yard line, so, you know, we might get a quick
7. But we appreciate y'all. Shout out to y'all for tuning ball. In live from the basement.
We're
no,
coming back.
No big ticker.
We're coming back every week again. Like, we're back.
We're back every week. You know, all the nuptials and stuff's out of the way. Everything's out of the way. We'll be back in the storage closet, you know, recording again.
if y'all know any dope podcast spots, we'll be looking for a new home. Let us know. We might be in the basement for a couple weeks, but yeah, I mean.
Yes, sir. We'll be back.
We'll figure it out. But we here.
It worked out better than I thought it did. Yeah, this is great.
Yeah, we here.
Great, you know, great acoustics, thanks, you know, because of all the boxes, you know. Got my little fourth grade trophy to remind me. That was nice with it on the saxophone.
On the sax.
And I just got my trophy back that I won in, I was a part of an undefeated team, the Creekview Steelers in eighth grade, number 92, my jersey. My sister took my jersey back in the day, like it was just some regular laundry. Like, no, that's my jersey. I want to frame it. And then she's like, she lost it. I don't know. And so, like, yo, that's my championship. It's worth something. Not really, but to me.
We played 1 year, one championship.
I played in that championship, yo. Like, I got my Al Bundy on. I still talk about this day. You know, 4 touchdowns, 1 game. Even though I was on defense, yo, I sacked. I got that sack. Hey, and they can't take that from me. They can't take it away from me.
All right, man. Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate y'all.
One.
Plates.